You'll take your Bibles if you wish to Psalm 119 is where we are. We're in our communion service, and we've been working our way through this. And I just was struck by this reading the Psalm some time ago. And I thought we can make meditations on this. The Psalm 119 is the testimony of a redeemed soul. And there are some things that are different for us as Christians from the mindset of Psalm 119. So Psalm 119 has an Old Testament understanding of righteousness. And it is somewhat different from the New Testament. I mean, they both have the standard that, or the idea that righteousness is measuring up to a standard. But especially the Old Testament is oriented towards the Old Testament, Psalm 119 is oriented towards the Old Testament sacrificial system and relating to God through keeping its ordinances. So as you go through this, you'll see references to the sanctuary and the sacrifice and so forth. These are part of the orientation. And Psalm 119 really has no understanding of the indwelling spirit, which we have in the New Testament. Nevertheless, Psalm 119 is the testimony of a redeemed soul, one whose faith is in God, who will stand before God in the last day based on his faith. We don't know who wrote Psalm 119. Many commentators think it was David. Could well be. But that's the case. That is unknown as far as we know. But whoever wrote it truly demonstrated faith in God. So as we look at these stanzas, I think that we can pick up something for us as New Testament believers about our testimony of redemption. So today I've called this message, Redemption Calls for Personal Separation. That was really the very first thing that came to my mind as I read through this stanza again. This is the Samech stanza. It has an S sound, and this is an S with very much like our S, very, very, I don't know whatever you call that sound, I'm not a linguist, but it's very similar to the letter S in the English language, the sound, yes, I hear it, the sound that comes when you hiss like that. Alright, so every verse in this section starts with that sound in Hebrew, which we're not going to replicate. So let's read it in English, and here it is on the screen. I hate those who are double-minded, but I love your law. You are my hiding place and my shield. I wait for your word. Depart from me, evildoers, that I may observe the commandments of my God. Sustain me according to your word, that I may live, and do not let me be ashamed of my hope. Uphold me, that I may be safe, that I may have regard for your statutes continually. You have rejected all those who wander from your statutes, for their deceitfulness is useless. You have removed all the wicked of the earth like dross. Therefore, I love your testimonies. My flesh trembles for fear of you, and I am afraid of your judgments. And so, as I mentioned, my theme that I've picked up is separation from the world. And I want you to know, first of all, the ways the psalmist distances himself from the wicked. So verse 113, I hate those who are double-minded, but I love your law. And so the psalmist, he's probably speaking here hyperbolically. I hate those who are double-minded. I love your law. But he is, it reminds me of the passage in 1 Kings, where, 1 Kings, I think, or 2 Kings, maybe it is, where Elijah is speaking to Israel. Is that 1 Kings 17? 18, okay. He's reminding Israel at Mount Carmel. He says, how long will you hesitate between two opinions? Double-minded. Double-minded. The world is double-minded. The world has a mind to do what's right, but it also has a mind to feed its flesh. It's double-minded. And the psalmist hates that double-mindedness in the world. And it's true, he would hate it in himself as well. The Christian, as we look at the testimony of the New Testament, is called away from that kind of mind. We cannot have one foot in the world and one foot in heaven. James says, I didn't put this in my notes. I'm trying to pull it out of my memory banks. Not in the double-minded man verse. I did think of that one, but he talks about friendship with the world is enmity with God. That's double-mindedness by definition. Friendship with the world is enmity with God. So he makes this statement. This is his testimony in verse 13. And then verse 15, notice it, 15. I get myself messed up. You know, as I start writing, I should say this. This is by the way. I started working out my outline. And so I think of these, I've got 8 stanzas here. So I'll make a point about the first verse and I'll put down in brackets the letter 1 as if it's the first verse, right? First verse of the stanza, but it's actually 113 of the psalm. Then I go down to the third verse, which is 115. All right, 115. Depart from me, evildoers, that I may observe the commandments of my God. So he makes a declaration. He has made a decision that he doesn't want to have fellowship with the evildoers. He makes a declaration. James Montgomery Boyce says, how are you and I ever going to keep on obeying God's law in a sinfully enticing world like ours? There are several answers to that question. The psalm itself elaborates on quite a few of them. One thing is certain, we are never going to obey God's law unless from the very beginning we determine to do it. That is our starting point. If we are to live for God, we must determine to obey Him regardless of any enticing siren calls to sin. So there's a decision that has to be made. If we're going to if we're going to be live separate from the world, then we have to decide to live separate from the world. Depart from me, evildoers. So he makes a declaration. He has a testimony of what he loves. He makes a declaration, a decision about what he wants to do in reference to the world. Verse 114, he says, you are my hiding place and my shield. I wait for your word. Verse 116 to 17, sustain me according to your word that I may live. Do not let me be ashamed of my hope. Uphold me that I may be safe, that I may have regard for your statutes continually. So there is a focus then on God. He has a testimony. He's made a declaration or a decision. And now he focuses on God. He wants to move towards God. So one aspect of personal separation, it's well and good to have to make a decision, to have a commitment, but you have to move towards God in order to move away from the world. And he looks at this psalm also, as he looks at it in verse 118 and 119, he notices what God has said about the world. You have rejected all those who wander from your statutes, for their deceitfulness is useless. You have removed all the wicked of the earth like dross. Therefore, I love your testimonies. So he looks at what he looks at the world in terms of how God sees the world, and he says, I want God. And so that's that recognition. He sees God's judgment. He focuses on God. He has a testimony. He's made a decision. The ways the psalmist distances himself from the wicked. Then, the reasons redeemed people need to separate from the world. So we're going to look at, again, we only have these 8 verses. We're going to look at some of them again. Verse 113, it is the double-mindedness. It is the untrustworthiness that he is afraid of. There is, in the world, there are a lot of people who will say many things as you interact with them. They'll make commitments for righteousness, and yet there is the willingness to compromise their positions for their own personal gain, for public approval, for whatever value they might have, but they are double-minded. They may say good things, they may say right things, but they are double-minded. It's one of the reasons we can't trust politicians. They'll make good promises about the good things that they see that the community or the province or the nation needs, and yet they have their foot in the world, and they know what's best for them, and they enact policies that promote their interests rather than necessarily the interests of all others. I remember having a conversation with our former premier, who I knew a little bit. And, you know, I came away from it thinking, you know, we see the problems exactly the same way. We look at the problems facing our province and what's going on, and we can see what's the problem. But he is a double-minded man. He was influenced by the world that he lived in, and that was more important to him than the kind of things that would really solve the problems, in my opinion. I'm just making a political opinion statement there. Anyhow, so a double-minded man. The world is double-minded. It's untrustworthy. You can't trust it to do what's right. They can make protestations. They can swear they'll do what's right, but you cannot trust them. And then 1:15 says, they are evildoers. They are evildoers. And the fact is that in spite of good intentions and in spite of protestations, many of the things that the world does are just literally evil. And then verse 1:18 says, they are useless. You have rejected all those who wander from your statutes. Their deceitfulness is useless. So it's untrustworthy. It's evil. It's useless. And so he turns away from the world for these reasons. And then the last thing I want to talk about here as far as our separation from the world is this, the posture that manifests redemption, the fear of the Lord. That's the last verse. We haven't talked about that at all. Notice how he puts it. My flesh trembles for fear of you. I am afraid of your judgments. Okay? My flesh trembles for fear of you. I am afraid of your judgments. It's interesting. I did run across in one of the commentaries, they were using the NIV, which I don't generally use. It's not a terrible translation, but it's not as good as I could wish most times. But in this verse, it says this, my flesh trembles in fear of you, just the same as the first line of the NASB. I stand in awe of your laws. Now, both of those things are true. Awe and fear are very akin. All right. I stand in awe of your laws. James Montgomery Boyce, again, this is from his commentary. He says, in a fascinating essay, the English writer William Hazlitt described an evening in which various literary figures of his day discussed people from the past they wished they had seen. They suggested almost everyone you could think of, Homer, Dante, Shakespeare, Columbus, Caesar, Napoleon, even Jonathan Edwards. But Charles Lamb had the last word. There is only one other person I can ever think of after this, he said. If Shakespeare was to come into the room, we should all rise up to meet him. But if that person, he means Jesus, was to come into it, we should all fall down and try to kiss the hem of his garment. And Boyce goes on to say, that is not nearly reverence enough. Okay, the psalmist says, my flesh trembles for fear of you. And I'm afraid of your judgments. The sentiment expressed is in the right direction, but this is the thing that that separation from the world, really, this must motivate it. We serve a perfect, holy, powerful God who will bring this world into judgment. Even as the psalmist has said, you have rejected all those who wander from your statutes. You have removed all the wicked of the earth like dross. Now, this is a prophetic statement. In terms of God's approval, disapproval, that is already true of the wicked. But the removal has not yet happened. And therefore, we have to realize that these people are under, and their philosophy is under God's condemnation. And the believer who is redeemed trembles for fear of God. Oh, may we be able to stand in the day of judgment, and may we be able to stand with God and draw near to Him. So I believe in separation from the world as much as possible. I need God's help to keep me separated from the world, and I need God to deliver me from the judgment that is to come. This is what communion means. We are called out of the world. We are in fellowship with God. We are communing with the Lord Jesus Christ. And we have given ourselves to a different world and a different value system. That means that we should have a testimony like the psalmist who turns away from the world and seeks to follow God. That ought to be the result of our redemption. And so Psalm 119 verses 113 to 120. Just a short meditation on that this afternoon. We're going to have our communion service in just a moment, but let's bow our heads first for a word of prayer. Father, we are often tantalized and tempted by the world. We are often wondering what could be so bad about the world. Help us to realize that it is only you that is worth anything in this world, and that we should pursue you and your ways above everything else. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.